Welcome to The Prosperous Farmer, a podcast telling the stories of farmers in the Limestone Coast and Western Victoria. I'm your host, Meg Bell, and today is my last day in the podcast recording position. So I'm handing over to our new host, Sally Close, and Sally's actually going to interview me, turn the tables on me, and you're going to hear from me a little bit about the history of MacKillop and my time with MacKillop, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with Sally.
Thanks, Meg, and welcome to the Prosperous Farmer podcast, and we're turning the tables today. Meg, you've been the CEO of the MacKillop Farm Management Group for over 5.5 years. Tell us about the path that led you to this role.
I studied at the University of New England when I left school. I went up there and I did a Bachelor in Livestock Science with honours. So I studied up there for 4 years and decided that I really enjoyed livestock consulting and particularly livestock nutrition, and that I really wanted to get into that space in my working life. So after I finished uni, I went to work for a dairy feed company in southwest Victoria in Camperdown, and I worked there as a sales nutritionist for about 12 months. And then I was approached to apply for a job at a private livestock consulting company called Productive Nutrition in Clare, and so applied and ended up getting the job there, which was really exciting because that was definitely more in the direction that I wanted to move. And so went up there and worked there for about 12 months. That business at the end of that time made the decision that they were going to close their office and go move to working from home. So that was really well timed because I was able to move back to my family's farm at Millicent, and well timed because my brother had just left to go to uni, and so dad was a little bit light on for helpers. And so I moved home and I was doing a little bit of consulting part-time and also working on the farm. So my family's got a beef and cropping property, or had at that time had a beef and cropping property. And so I was working on the beef and cattle side of things. And so I was there for a couple of years and met my now husband Owen and ended up moving in with him. And I was doing a bit of traveling back and forth, working a couple of days a week on the farm and doing a couple of days a week consulting and a bit of other, you know, project and industry type of work. And then I got the opportunity to manage the National Lifetime Ewe Management Program. So started there as the interim program leader, and that was just a short-term contract. And partway through that short-term contract, the CEO role at MacKillop came up, and a couple of people tapped me on the shoulder and said, "We think you'd be a good fit." And I did not think that they were right, but I figured I might as well have a crack. And so that was it. I started with MacKillop in 2018. So my background was fairly extensive in the livestock sector, and I'd had a bit of cropping experience just through working on the farm, which was mostly driving trucks at harvest time. And I hadn't had all that much project management experience either, but yes, all of those skills were definitely rapidly developed once I started.
Your career has mostly been in livestock, so where does the passion for livestock come from?
I think just the background. My family, and my dad in particular, has always been really, you know, cattle in particular, he has a real love for cattle and for working with animals. And I think that's just probably by osmosis got into all of us kids, and particularly me and my brother, who are still involved in the ag industry. I think that's, yeah, where it came from, just the experience working with cattle and with animals, you know, right from when we were young, and just, you know, following that through. And that was always the thing that I was the most interested in. And particularly when I got to uni, it was really noticeable whenever I had to sit through an agronomy lecture, which I never really floated my boat quite as much as the livestock focused stuff did.
Tell us a bit about your time growing up on the farm.
It was pretty, I guess, just a pretty standard country upbringing. We used to go with Dad quite frequently driving and, you know, around the paddocks and checking waters. And I can remember being really little and, you know, he had to get a heifer in one night late and turning the lights on in the yards and having to pull a calf and, you know, raising potty calves ourselves and always having the dogs around. And Mum, I think, would always, always said that right from a very young age, I would, when I was playing, I would choose to play with the farm toys rather than anything else that was available, and that the games that we had to play were always droving or like rounding up cattle games. So I think, yeah, just a very probably standard farm upbringing, lots of time outside, lots of time with my siblings roaming around and building forts in the backyard and roaming around the drains and across the paddocks. We'd walk to my grandma's house. Yeah, just lots of adventuring, lots of time outside, and you know, lots of just enjoying all being together.
The perfect childhood, sounds like. Yes. Meg, at the end of February, you're finishing as the MacKillop CEO. What have you most enjoyed about your time with the MacKillop Group?
When I was reading this question in preparation, I had a couple of things that came to mind. And the first one, and it probably sounds a little bit cliche, but I think the first one is just the people that I've been able to work with in my time here. You know, getting to know all of the members or most of the members, getting to know a lot of our sponsors who we work with, but then also our contractors who are managing projects for us, researchers who are involved in the region. That for me has been one of the highlights, being able to get to know people and understand, you know, what they do and why they do it. And I guess the follow-on part of that is that understanding or knowing that MacKillop as a group has had an impact on their farming business or their ag supply business or their research, that to me probably has been, you know, the most satisfying. Yeah. And then the second part really is just the exposure to all of the information that being part of MacKillop has kind of facilitated. So being able to access some of that, you know, the really new and exciting research that's coming out and working with those researchers or funding bodies to, you know, get that work delivered down here in our region so that we can, you know, kind of test it on a local level.
What are some of the changes that you've seen farmers adopt?
Particularly in the first couple of years, for most of our cropping members in the high rainfall zone, there was a really big impact with the hyper-yielding crops project, which has been led by Far Australia and Nick Poole. That's had a really big impact and a really big shift in the production of our farmers or our members and others in the high rainfall zone in the lower limestone coast. So that's been pretty cool to witness because that's ongoing. There are still lots of advances that are being made. I would say in the upper southeast, it's really been around a lot of work, and this is probably down to our excellent project managers in soils, Mel Fraser, who has just done such a fantastic job of working with and consulting with our members, looking at soils and soil amelioration in the upper southeast and really making sure that people have a good understanding of how their soils work, because that's kind of the basis for everything. So that's been quite a big change, I think, in my time. And then in the livestock sector, I think there's been a lot more focus on, I guess, a little bit of welfare, so lamb survival and making sure that we're farming for sustainability but also for the best health of our animals, and a real increase in the interest in cattle and how productive they can be and how they can be a really excellent part of a livestock business.
Yeah, and so I'll just put a plug in for some of our previous episodes for The Prosperous Farmer, where we've interviewed Nick Poole, we've interviewed Mel Fraser, we've interviewed Elkie Hocking, who was one of the project managers for the livestock projects, and we've introduced farmers who have been involved in all of those projects, and they're really all great episodes.
Yeah, they are. And hearing those stories of people, you know, you kind of get that impact of the research or the project that's been done on their farm from the researcher or the person doing the work, but also the farmer themselves. I think that's been just an excellent part of the work that we've done.
Yeah, and we also interviewed Forbes Brian and Charlie Crozier about our scanning ewes. So why do you think it's important for groups like MacKillop to exist and for farmers to get involved?
Without groups like MacKillop, to me it feels a little bit like the information that we have access to as farmers, there's not a central place to go for it. And sometimes it lacks a little bit of regional or local context as well. So I think that's the real advantage with groups like us. There's the ability for the group and the people who are running the group to really understand what our members' needs are in the southeast. And I think by having that understanding, it really means that the information that we're getting out the other side is really relevant and usually really timely and really focused to our particular farming systems, which I think is really important. If MacKillop wasn't there, it would be really difficult to be able to get that information. You have to go to a lot of different sources to try and find it, I think. And you also have to be on a lot of mailing lists and, you know, following a lot of people on social media to, you know, see what sort of events are being run and what sort of training opportunities there are out there. So, yeah, I think there's a real advantage to being involved with a group like MacKillop.
What we do is we build a community of people, a group of, you know, farmers. They have similar farms, similar problems that they want to solve or areas that they want to improve. So they come together and they can share their problems, they can share their successes.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sharing of ideas and sharing of experiences often is the most valuable part, I think, of groups like ours as well. You know, it might be you're coming along to a crop walk because you think you really want to have a look at the trial strips that are in, but actually you get the most benefit out of talking to somebody who you might not see every day, but they're a neighbour and they've had a similar problem to you, or they're doing something on their farm that you're really interested in doing. And yeah, I think that's one of the real beauties, that connection that we've got amongst our members.
And we have some fun too.
And we do have some fun too.
So tell us about your other roles in agriculture and what drives you to be involved.
At the moment, I am running a couple of discussion groups. One is a beef discussion group based in Victoria, and the other two are actually groups run in the southeast of SA, and they're actually funded through MacKillop. So they're sort of the main parts that I'm doing outside of my CEO role and in my own business. The other work at the moment that I've got on is I'm actually coordinating the Executive Officer Network for the Ag Excellence Alliance. And so that is around bringing all of the executive officers together for all of the farming systems groups in South Australia and providing them with a forum to connect and learn with each other as well. So it's a few similar themes coming through here, Sal. So we've also been involved with coordinating and facilitating the SA Livestock Advisor update for the last 7 years, which has been really excellent. That again is a forum for livestock advisors to get together and be brought up to speed on the latest in livestock research and to do a bit of professional skill development as well. Other than that, I sit on a couple of committees. Some of them are, you know, there's a sitting fee paid, and some of them are voluntary. They're sort of industry organisations, and, you know, directing where member money is spent and making sure that the activity that's delivered is actually what the members and what the stakeholders want. And so I guess the biggest thing that's outside of agriculture that's coming up for me in the next month is that we will be having a very small baby arrive in our house. And so that's probably going to keep me busy outside of work, well, I don't know, probably approximately for the next 18 to 20 years, but but in the short term, for, yeah, probably the, you know, the first 3 to 6 months or a little bit longer. So yeah, that's a really exciting time for us at the moment.
Yeah, very exciting. So welcoming a new little person into the world and taking care of them. And even when they become a big person, you still have to guide them and look after them. So what are your words of wisdom to others considering a career in agriculture?
My words of wisdom are that the opportunities are endless, and sometimes the career that you think you will have turns out not to be the career that you do have, and sometimes that might actually be for the better. You'll find something that suits your skill set that you really enjoy, and if you're working in a role that you're not enjoying, there's definitely another option out there for you. I love working in the agricultural industry. I love that it's relatively tight-knit, that we know people, you know, there's a real feeling of community, particularly amongst the MacKillop membership base as well. There's a real thirst for learning and knowledge transfer and willingness to change practices based on research. And I think anybody who likes people, likes working outdoors, and either likes working with animals or with plants, yeah, it's just a great place to be.
Apart from becoming a parent, you and Owen becoming a parent, what's next for you?
Probably going to take up a bit of our time, I think. Yeah. The short answer is I don't really have any definite plans. I really enjoy the work that I'm doing with those discussion groups at the moment, and so I'll probably continue to do some of that. As always, I love working on the farm, loved working with my family, and since I've been working professionally in the ag industry, probably didn't have any spare time left to be doing anything hands-on on the farm. So I'd really like to get back to being able to actually do some farming on our farm, which would be really nice. But other than that, no real plans. So who knows, Sal, you might see me back here in another 12 months when I'm bored.
I'm sure we'll see you around, Meg, that's for sure. So Meg, thanks for sharing your story with us today, and thank you for your work as CEO of the MacKillop Group, and we wish you well on your journey into parenthood. Thanks for listening to The Prosperous Farmer, a MacKillop Farm Management Group production. You can rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube at MacKillop Group, or check out our website at MacKillopGroup.com.au. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.